Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 42. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I am conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the blog. Show notes at guitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when new episodes have been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. And we have tornado sirens going on outside. Yeah, we're definitely under a tornado warning here. And, I mean, you heard the siren going off. So the wife is carrying blankets to the basement and has the flashlight. Oh, holy crap, folks. That was my wife. She just fell down the stairs. I mean, I paused and stuff and ran downstairs and checked her under her to be sure she was okay. But, oh, man. Yeah, she got near the bottom of the stairs and slipped. And, well, you heard it. And she's okay. She's a little sore. And she's laughing. You know, I got down there. I was afraid she was crying. Like, serious hurt. I mean, I was scared. And I said, "Are you laughing or are you crying?" And she goes, "A little of both." She seems to be okay. But yeah, my heart is beating really, really fast. And I'm just hoping that I can get through this with maybe the power that stays on and maybe she doesn't, you know, fall down the stairs again or some other, you know, major catastrophe happen while I'm trying to record this. Man. So yeah, that's kind of crazy, but I'm glad she's okay. And I just thought I'd share that with you. It's kind of odd. We captured that. We've listened to it a handful of times and she's laughed every time. But yeah, we've got a nasty line of thunderstorms coming through, really big, massive line. And I just hope everybody stays safe. I saw the tornadoes in out east earlier in the week, and just that's scary stuff. And it's that season. It's that time of year. I didn't get on here to talk about the weather, folks. I got on here to talk about guitars. First off, I want to say that a couple weeks ago, I went and saw a Battle of the Bands. It was really kind of cool. I had a good time with friends and everything. And watched about five bands play and liked different things about them. I tell you, what I was most impressed with were the drummers. Actually, and a couple bass players. There was a bass player that was really super solid and just kind of, he just commanded the stage in a really, really cool way. I'm sorry to say the majority of the guitar players, I know these are amateur guitar players, but still, I was not impressed. And I know it takes a lot to impress me, but I was actually rather disappointed because of lack of fundamental skills of a lot of these guitar players, and which tells me I really need to start, focus on fundamentals on this guitar, on this podcast, that this should be something to help people out. So they see, I mean, you can learn all sorts of different things from watching YouTube or a bunch of different songs and everything, but basic core fundamentals of guitar playing are being missed by many, many guitar players around. And I want to change that. Some techniques that people are using will, if you're 19 or 20 or something like that, it's, you know, you're not going to feel the effects of it. When you're 39 and you've played that way, if your hands will tolerate playing with poor technique for that long, you're going to really start feeling it. Your hands are going to start really talking to you and in a bad way, and to the point where you may not be able to play guitar anymore. And we don't want that. We want more people playing guitar and playing guitar well into their elderly years. Me personally, I'm hoping that I'm a really old man playing guitar on my back porch, you know, 40, 50 years from now. You know, that's my goal, is to be able to play, maybe not the way I'm playing now or the way I played when I was 18. I don't play the way I played when I was 18 now. So she's going back downstairs to see if she falls. Yeah, no commotion. And I know some of you have mentioned in emails to me saying, hey, you know, I'd like some instruction, some guidance there. And I'd really love to do it. And I need to do it. I need to talk to you about that. One point right now, which, I mean, this isn't going to be the main topic of this episode, but just something. If you bend notes without your thumb over the top of the neck, it's very rare that I will ever tell you you're doing it wrong on guitar or anything like that. But if you're bending a note up and you don't have your thumb over the top, you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry to just be that blunt, but you really need to have your thumb over the top and push with your middle and ring finger. Anyway, what I'm getting at is whenever you bend a note, what you're doing is trying to close your fist on the neck, which makes those two fingers, your middle and ring finger, push the string up and makes a consistent bend. That's one of the first things I really want to cover is really bending in tune the proper way, the proper technique to bend notes. I don't know how many people I saw bending notes with their thumb behind the neck trying to, it just doesn't work that way. You're not going to consistently bend in tune doing it that way. Anyway, enough of my rant. As much as I'd like to get onto my real topic, I had to split the recording between last night and tonight because last night we had the massive storm come through and, of course, my wife falling down the stairs and tornado sirens and all kinds of craziness and then not able to get the 1-year-old to go back to sleep at, you know, after the 10 o'clock storms came through. And by the time we got her to sleep, it was super late. And we just chilled out and went to bed. So I'm recording the next day. So whenever you really see that this is has come out a couple days later, it's been a long time or whatever, that's why. It's going to be even later than normal. Well, you're listening to it now. You know it's later than normal, but that's why. Before I get on to the main topic of today's episode, I need to announce that any of you hardcore old metal fans from the dawning days of metal, especially British metal, you'll know that K.K. Downing has retired from Judas Priest. Here's the press release. British metal band Judas Priest announced this week that founding guitarist K.K. Downing, 59, retired from the band and will not join them on their forthcoming farewell tour named the Epitaph Tour. Remaining members Rob Halford, singer Rob Halford, guitarist Glenn Tipton, bassist Ian Hill, if I could talk. It'd be nice if I could talk, because that's what this whole podcast is about, right? Well, me being able to talk. Drummer Scott Travis issued a press release announced K.K. Downing's replacement as Richie Faulkner, the 31-year-old guitarist behind Lauren Harris and Dirty Deeds. In a recent interview, Downing was asked for his thoughts on the farewell tour, and he said, "To be perfectly honest, I have not given any thought as to possible case scenarios after the final tour. At the moment, though, I feel that Priest has played its part in music history and feel very proud to have achieved what we have. So there's a good positive feeling inside me, and of course, I feel very indebted to the fans all over the world. As for the future, we probably need to help the Priest's most recent album, Nostradamus." Anyway, thought I'd share that little tidbit about K.K. Downing retiring. and the replacement in Lauren with Richie Faulkner. Anyway, so anyway, the main topic of the episode, I want to talk about, we talked a lot about pedals and pedal boards and effects and signal chains, and I've done a couple, I've done a demo of a Keeley modded Boss DS1 distortion pedal on YouTube, and you know, talked about pedals that I like and stuff. Well, John went and posted on the Facebook page about True Bypass Breakdown. So, and I've read the article, and I read several others and everything, and I kind of have my own take on True Bypass, so I'd like to share that with you. If you want to read the article, go to the Guitar Podcast Facebook page, and you'll find John's post there really easy, and I should just post it on the show notes. There are a lot of articles about True Bypass and people's varying opinions, so what I'm going to do is kind of break down what True Bypass is, what your basic switching systems are, without getting too detailed into where, to really understand, you really kind of have to just be a pedal builder or a pedal repair guy or something like that, or have a, you know, really good knowledge of electronics. Basically, I'm going to talk about types of switching systems. Just a regular switch that turns your pedal on and off, basically, so that the signal is being affected by the pedal. But what the effect is supposed to do to the signal is either on or off, or a true bypass switch or a buffered switch. So let's start with our main thing is a true bypass switch. They're usually characterized by, you can usually see them. Not all switches that look like this are true bypass, though. But they are usually a metal button about 5/8 inches around, sticking out of the top of the pedal. Say if you look at an old Ibanez TS-808 or the reissue TS-808s, instead of having like a pad that it gets depressed whenever you turn it on and off, it has just this button that sticks out the top. And those are usually, you start thinking, oh, when you see that on any pedal, especially boutique pedals, you probably want to think, oh, this might be true bypass. And a lot of the pedals will say true bypass on them, or they'll have a sign that says, shows, it will show a line that does an arc and then moves on again with an arrow beside it, and that's a bypass, or it's a kind of a sign for true bypass. What true bypass means is whenever you turn that pedal off by hitting that button, it actually, the signal goes into the pedal, hits that switch, and just goes, it bypasses the whole signal chain within the pedal, and it hits a one wire that sends it to the output of the pedal, so that there's, it completely bypasses any signal, any the circuit board, any of the circuitry within the pedal. So that's why it's called true bypass. If the pedal's not on, it's almost like the pedal's not in the chain at all. Then you have like a regular switching system where if the pedal's off, the signal is still being affected by the pedal being in the chain because it goes through some form of the circuitry within the pedal. Even though the pedal isn't making it delay or flange or chorus or anything like that, or distort. So then you have a buffered signal. The signal has to go into the circuitry of that pedal, and it gets a little boost from that pedal as it goes through and leaves that pedal. No matter what, if the pedal's on or off, it's getting a boost. Okay? Now then, there's an argument against... Now, I like true bypass. If a pedal is in my signal chain and I don't want it on, I don't want it affecting the sound at all. I only want, I want it pure. If I only want two pedals activated. Those are the only pedals I want working. Okay. Now then there will be people who will say you have five pedals on a pedal board. And each one of them has, and this is their scenario, each one of them has a foot-long patch cable between them, connecting them. Well, whether it's true by, if it's true bypass and there's no buffer in there, you're still adding, 5 feet of patch cable in between, and you don't have anything buffering or pushing the signal. So each one of those cables adds a little bit of capacitance, basically absorbing some of the high end. That's part of true bypass, is so that you can maintain having that high end, so you have the full range of tone. Because people think that pedals that aren't true bypass, whether it's buffered or not, that it diminishes some of the tone. It sucks tone, is what they'll say. And wah pedals are notorious for that. That people think that if there's any one pedal that you want to make true bypass, would be a wah pedal. Mine isn't true bypass, and I really should do that to it, or put a loop in there or something like that to take care of that. But the argument is that, if you're adding five feet of cable in your signal chain and it's not getting buffered, then you're adding that capacitance, which is diminishing the tone, which is you're losing something along the way there. My answer to that is, I use George L's, and I cut them to length. So the length that I need. So some of my patches are only a couple inches long. So I'm not really losing any or getting any capacitance there. Then there are people who would say you need to have a buffer there to push the signal along. We'll say if every single one of your pedals have a buffer in them, then you're really changing the signal a lot each step of the way. Now, back to the cables. Say if I was talking about the cable having a bit of capacitance. The longer the cable is, and the more cable that's in your chain, the more capacitance you're going to get. So, I use 10-foot cables. Now, and I think that's about the extent you really should use. If you really want to have good tone, anything more than that, you're going to start, your cable's going to start acting as a capacitor and reducing your tone. So I don't spend a ton of money. I have DiMarzio, I use DiMarzio cables for the cable that goes from my guitar to my pedal board, and then from my pedal board to my amp. They're not terribly expensive. You can spend a lot of money on high-end cables. Now, say if I ran a studio or something, I would totally want to use high-end cables. But since I play live, I think my tone is as good as it's going to get for a live situation, or as good as it needs to be for a live situation. Perhaps I don't even need to spend the extra money on George L's. For my situation. But I do, because I really want, I'm listening to it. I have to hear it. So I don't want to hear bad tone coming out of my amp. I want it to sound the way I want it to sound. I want it to sound as pure as I possibly can get it. So some of my rationale about cables and true bypass there. Now when I talk about your cords acting as a capacitor and capacitance, it's what they tend to call like drag on your signal chain, and you lose high end there. You just lose juice when it travels through your chain. The longer distance that the signal from your guitar has to go to get to the amp, the more you're going to lose of the original tone. Of course, like I've said before, I was really kind of a tone purist back when I was originally playing out in bars. I did not want to have anything between my guitar and amp. And then I started, I'd use a volume pedal or a wah pedal. And the wah pedal is probably the worst thing I could put in there because they notoriously suck tone. Now then, buffers. I'm not against it. Now the Nova Delay, naturally it has, I'm not sure that they call, I don't think they call it a buffer, but what it does is you have to set your Nova Delay for the kind of playing that you're going to do. And it regulates that so that it's not too much or too little, and it's not dropping your sound too much or boosting it too much. It regulates that, so it acts as somewhat of a buffer. I don't think it's a bad idea to have a good pedal at the beginning of your chain, or a good buffer. That's all it does is buffer at the beginning of your chain, and maybe something like the Nova Delay, like I have at the end, that helps the signal along too. I don't have a problem with that. You know, this article I'm linking to, it says, you know, aren't buffers bad? But the answer is yes and no. Many people have been led to believe that any pedal with a buffer is bad, and that's not so. Many buffered pedals do great things for your signal. Most Boss pedals are a good example of this, but still seem to end up with a bad rap. Brands like DOD and other budget pedals are where the bad buffers show up. I'd say if you really wanted to go with a good buffer, and I'm not endorsing this particular buffer, the product that this article is promoting, or any of the others that I'll link to here. I would say that if you're using a buffer, be sure and do your homework, know everything you need to know about. I mean, everything there is to know about this before you buy, so that you're getting exactly what you're looking for the money, what you need, or do you even need it? Some of the pedals that use a buffer that aren't so good, that a lot of people would use. I mean, and I even use one, and the Boss SD1 was mixed up there. It's not the DS1, the SD1, some of the Lion 6 pedals, and Crybaby and Vox Wahs, notorious for sucking tone. Most vintage gear does suffer from bad switching, but can easily be modified. I have an Electra Phaser pedal. Its switching is pretty bad, and when I turn it on, the overall volume goes down. So I need to switch that switch out to a true bypass into a true bypass switch. See if that takes care of the issue. If not, I may need to wire in a little kind of a little potentiometer inside of the pedal to give it a little bit of juice whenever I turn it on. And I certainly need to put a true bypass switch. Need to put a true bypass switch on my Crybaby wah pedal. I'm thinking, from what I know about wah pedals, and whenever I bought that pedal, I think it's a mid to early 70s wah pedal. So, and I need to talk about wah pedals in a future episode too, about why I chose an older pedal as opposed to the new, and so on and so forth. I hope this kind of clears up a little bit of people's concern with having or not having true bypass switching systems on their pedals that are on their pedal boards, and basically my opinion on having true bypass. I mean, and you can look at my pedal board and you can see that my compressor, true bypass. AC boosters, true bypass. OCD is true bypass. The death rattle is true bypass. The volume pedal is just a potentiometer that allows more through or less through. And then there's the wah pedal, which I need to add true bypass to. And the Nova Delay, which boosts the signal a bit, which actually regulates the signal somewhat to your playing once you set it right. And then there's that phaser that needs attention too. So I think you'll probably run into a lot of times with your vintage pedals that you may want to replace the switching in those, because either they have a bad buffer, they're not true bypass, or they need, you know, they just need something. They need some attention. That whenever they're turned on, they'll sound really cool and give you good rich tone. But if they're not on, they may be sucking some of the tone. Or when, even when they're on, like my phaser, which really needs, I need to address this with it. So, I mean, that's me practicing what I preach. I'm a true bypass guy. I was kind of convinced on that. I'm starting to think that perhaps, I know, I like I said, I don't have a whole lot of cable in between my pedals, and that was intentional. I didn't want to have a whole lot of capacitance or room for that kind of issue to come up in my chain. So I laid out my pedals, and then I cut my George L's as short as I possibly could between each one, so that I was being as efficient with the cable that I purchased as I possibly could, and two, having that byproduct of having a cleaner signal. And of course, having good cables, it is important. I mean, I'm not using the cheap cable that came with my Gorilla amp back in 1985. I mean, I'm not going to use that. That thing is just, it'll short out anyway. Something I really like about this article is that it has this bottom line: don't believe everything you hear from everybody else, what they're saying. I really like that, because that's very, very true. Because in this industry, when it comes to guitars, it's so, so subjective that, you know, people will say, I mean, they'll have their own, well, you know, I'm sitting here talking and rambling on with my opinion, and I'm passionate about it, or I wouldn't do this. But again, it's just my opinion. You're going to hear, you get into discussions with people, go on a forum and talk about true bypass, and people are going to be going, no, it's got to be, you got to use a buffer, or you can only use true bypass. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it comes down to what you want to hear. I mean, not somebody, you know, rambling on and complaining about this pedal or that pedal. It's what you hear coming out of your amp. Is that what you like? Do you like that? Let your ear be your guide every time, every single time. Let your ear tell you what you want to know. Let your ear guide you to what pedal's going to be best for you, if it's going to be true bypass or buffered or whatever. And another thing he says is don't freak out if you like your Boss pedal but have issues now because you've been led to believe it's evil. If you like the way the pedal sounds and it's not true bypass, I mean, what is there really to question there? You like the pedal, use it. If you are kind of hung up on it being true bypass, there are looper systems, true bypass looper systems that you can put in front of it that you can loop to it, so it is completely out of the signal chain and only turned on when you want it on. I mean, there are always ways around this. And if you really want to be a purist, there's no problem with that. I have no problem with that. But don't let a, you know, a pedal that sounds cool when it's on, don't hold that, don't not use that pedal because it's not true bypass, because there are always ways around it. Don't throw that, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. There are always ways to utilize things in your signal chain that may not be, you know, up to a true bypass person's purist standards. So, you know, like me, I love true bypass, but I'm not letting it rule my pedal board, because I have two pedals on there that I wanted the tone from them when they're on and how they react. You know, I like the way they sound, but I do need to address that they're, you know, true bypass. And then, of course, the Nova Delay is not true bypass. It's on most of the time anyway, but it affects the signal. It directly affects the signal. So perhaps I need a high impedance buffer at the beginning of my signal chain or somewhere in there? I don't know. I'm not really there yet, but it's something I'll probably need to think about. I hope this cleared some things up for you, helped. You know, if you were kind of feeling bad about some of the things that were going on in your pedal board, or heard people say different things about different switches on pedals. You know, I'm not going to be a Nazi and say you must use true bypass, because, you know, if it sounds good, use it. That's, you know, if your ear likes it, that's what you should use. If you can't stand the way it sounds, well, what's it doing on your board anyway? Well, what are you doing? What is it even sitting on the shelf in your house or apartment? You know, that thing needs to be on eBay or Craigslist, or traded in at your local shop for something different, for cash or whatever. Get rid of it. You don't want it. You don't like it. What's it matter? So that's my 2.5 cents on the matter. And you got all the bonus material at the beginning. So I hope you dig it. And I'm gonna, you know, that pretty much wraps it up for this this episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on the show notes, and I'll have links to a couple different articles regarding true bypass. And if you liked what you heard today, and you subscribe using iTunes or Zoom, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.